We tend to presume that every person in the world has a nationality, a country they can call home. But according to estimates by Refugees International, a U.S.-based advocacy group, between 9 and 11 million people in the world today are citizens of nowhere. Several humanitarian organizations are working with the United Nations and the U.S. Congress to address the unique problems of stateless refugees. A major challenge in tackling the problem of statelessness is that the phenomenon is worldwide, and according to Refugees International Executive Director Maureen Lynch, affects a staggering variety of displaced populations.
Maybe some of the largest numbers are found among individuals in the former Soviet bloc, among some of Thailand's ethnic groups, the Bhutanese in Nepal, some of the Muslim minorities in Burma and Sri Lanka, some Palestinians, some of Europe's Roma as well, Bedouin in Kuwait, Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, and the UAE. Also in the Horn of Africa, there are some issues as well, Bahari and Rohingya in Bangladesh, the denationalized Kurds in Syria, and also groups among in Zimbabwe, people with Indian descent or links to Malawi and Mozambique, and the list really goes on and on.
Lynch says statelessness is the product of a complex mix of political, economic, and social forces. These include racial and ethnic discrimination, labor exploitation, and the displacement of targeted populations.
Political changes or transfer of territory. Sometimes there's targeted discrimination or expulsion of groups or individuals. There may be just differences in the laws between countries. There may be laws that relate to marriage or birth registration that cause difficulties. Or if a person renounces their nationality without prior acquisition of another nationality, they might become stateless.
Maureen Lynch says addressing the problems of stateless refugees requires the cooperation of all countries with an avowed commitment to protect human rights. Sarnata Reynolds, Refugee Program Director at Amnesty International, says statelessness often results from serious human rights violations.
The status of statelessness itself is a violation because everyone has a right to nationality. And it's incredibly important because many international conventions arise out of the idea that a state is responsible to its nationals to provide certain protections and ensure certain rights. And when someone is stateless, it means that no state is actually identifying this person as subject to its protection. And so the stateless person often can't exercise the rights of other people because they just don't fall under anyone's conventions.
Two groups of activist U.S. lawmakers, the Congressional Children's Caucus and the Congressional Human Rights Caucus, are working to improve the U.S. response to statelessness in cooperation with the U.N. High Commission for Refugees and other concerned organizations. Their initiatives have focused on refugee resettlements wherever possible, the reform of inequitable immigration policies, and better monitoring for human rights abuses. At a special presentation recently on Capitol Hill, Maureen Lynch of Refugees International urged an expanded U.S. role in assisting the world's stateless populations.
We can really make prevention and reduction of statelessness part of the U.S. human rights agenda around the world, especially in light of the impact it has on children and youth and families. The U.S. can also provide new funding for the U.N. High Commissioner for Refugees. The U.N. High Commissioner for Refugees is the only agency among the U.N. with a mandate specifically on this issue.
Lynch also believes that in order to press other governments to cooperate in solving this problem, the United States must become a party to the 1954 U.N. Convention on Statelessness, as well as the 1961 Convention on the Reduction of Statelessness. Sarnata Reynolds of Amnesty International emphasizes the importance of a leading American role.
The U.S. has a long history of playing a leading role on many human rights issues, and so this is another area where the U.S. could play that strong role. It's important because we have a lot of resources that other countries, of course, don't have, and we can use those resources in ways that benefit some of the most vulnerable populations around the world.
Amnesty International, Refugees International, and other humanitarian organizations acknowledge that states have the sovereign right to set the rules for acquiring and losing citizenship. But they point out that today disputes over nationality and citizenship can only be addressed by the same governments that regularly violate norms of state protection and citizenship. Human rights groups are urging the U.S. State Department and the U.S. Congress to apply stronger diplomatic or economic pressure on those governments that fail to honor the legal right of all people to a nation they can call home. In Washington, I'm Rob Sivak.